Okay, Radio Dead Air, this is Nash, and we're on the second take. We're trying to talk to Jenny. Jenny Breeden from Devil's Panties. First time we tried this, I had an equipment malfunction, but I'm told that happens to every DJ at some point in his life. You know.
That's what they say, but you know.
That, and if I have a recording lasting more than 4 hours, I should consult my physician, but...
No, that's just fun.
So how are you this morning? How's the common treating you so far?
Oh, I can't feel my legs.
Is this a good thing or a bad thing?
It's a good thing. Oh, it's very nice. It's been a phenomenal convention. It's always been a good convention. It's just mind-boggling now. I'm in shell shock. I'm just about out of merchandise, and I have a convention next week, so that should be interesting.
So, how are you gonna replenish your stock before then?
Details. I'm kind of in too much shock to really be worrying about that right now.
Did you happen to cruise by the pirate party last night?
I tried to find the 10th floor. It was the wrong building. Yeah, 10th floor in the wrong building. So, we made our own pirate party. Bluebeard was here with a blue mini kilt. The man is very proud.
Mini kilt.
And I had my leaf blower. So we were accosting mini a kilt.
We were over in the Walk of Fame yesterday, and we heard, there's this girl with this battery-powered leaf blower following people around. I had to explain to them.
Yeah, no, we actually went to the Klingon party because we heard that there were some Klingon kilts there, and we got two of those, and lots of pictures. I actually ran down the battery pack on the leaf blower twice, and my camera's holding up okay.
All right, well, let's... the comic, that's what's been going on in the last year for you. The comic is doing fairly well?
Yeah, no, last month I put in my notice at the comic book store, and said find somebody else to work, because the comic is finally doing well enough that the only way that I can afford to quit my day job is if I quit my day job, so I have enough time to do the merchandising that I need to have enough money to quit my day job. So I quit, but they keep scheduling me. So I'm getting to the point where I'm just sitting there at the register going, friends like, why are you still here? I'm like, well, I quit. That'll be $250, please. Yeah.
But you've mentioned you've got all the way up to number 10 ready to go, and at the printers right now is number 5.
Yes. I sent in book 5. Book 4 is being printed at the moment, yeah. It's 3 came out a couple of weeks ago, and I am trying to get ahead, because what's happening is that I've gotten to the point where the art is good enough in the archives that I can use it in the comic book. So when I say that I'm up to book 10, that's because I've taken all of my pre-existing cartoons and kind of shoved them onto pages and then left 4 pages blank for new material. And so I still have to draw the new material. But yeah, I'm trying to get a buffer because by book 10, I'll have run out of the archive and I'll have to draw completely new cartoons, an entire book of it. And so that should be very interesting. By book 12 or 13, I'll probably have lapped the online comic strips. And so you'll be able to go into a comic book store and get... that month's cartoons in a comic book form before they're even posted on the internet.
That was something I didn't get a chance to ask you about. How is it that how easy is it to juggle web content versus content in the comic? I mean, you're selling the comic, but anyone can just go to the archives. How do you manage to balance that out?
Well, again, I'm adding cartoons that are only in the comic book, trying to give people incentive to buy the comic book. It is a culture shock, as far as the differences in between the instant gratification of the internet and the grueling process of printing, because it is about, it takes a couple of months to print it up, and especially with Diamond and previews, the distributors have to know what's coming out so they can order it. And then the couple months later, once it's ordered and shipped, so it takes about, I want to say about 6 months. Yeah, you know, we solicited, Diamond wants to know what's in book 11 this month. They want to know a cover and they want to know a synopsis of book 11 so they can put it in previews. Yeah, book 3 just came out last week. So this is also why I'm trying to get a head start on book 10 and 11, because now that I'm looking at what the synopsis was for number 6, I'm like, oh, that's actually in book 7 and 8. Oh, well, I don't think anybody's paying attention.
Well, now, we talked a little bit about some of what you've been reading lately. You mentioned the artist in the New Blue Beetle has gotten your attention.
Yeah, he came into the first New Blue Beetle that came out. We had the artist in the comic shop doing a signing. And what's frustrating is that we'll have, since we're in Atlanta, a lot of the major artists' studios are in Atlanta, Studio Gaijin and Adam Hughes and a lot of the Marvel guys. And so they come into our comic shop, and so we had actually Ex Machina, like a ton of the guys who do Ex Machina in the comic shop to do signings for number one. Of course, you know, number one, people are like, oh, this looks interesting, whatever. And now, you know, Ex Machina is huge, and I'm sitting there going, damn, if I could have only just picked the brains of the guys that were sitting there while they were there for, you know, sitting there, nobody around, you know. And the guy who does Blue Beetle came in, and he shops at the comic shop a lot, and so I kind of knew who he was, but it didn't occur to me, you know, because I only recognize art styles. And I looked at his art style, and I was like, wait a minute, this... Didn't you do, you know, red? I think it was called red. It was red, green, red, yellow, green. You know, that it was a series of three, and it was just beautifully done. And I was like, wait, I know you. I love you. So yeah. And I asked him about when I flipped through it. I realized that the character designs were fantastic. The little sister in every panel, she's yelling or jumping on the couch or has her head, you know, standing on her head on the couch. And just every little sibling that you've ever had of just, you know, bouncing off the walls. And he said that yeah, he tried to, in every panel, draw her in a completely different position because she's a rambunctious little, you know, 8-year-old or 6-year-old or something.
So what is it about other styles, the artists that you're trying to... You say you pick their brains. What do you talk to other artists about? What catches your attention?
Well, if I could pick the brains of some of the comic book artists or comic book creators, in 100 Bullets, there's little details all throughout. Like if a guy's in prison, then there's some rope that is tied in an interesting fashion to the bars to make a shelf for some magazines. And it kind of makes me wonder how much of, the, you know, did he make that up? What kind of research did he do to figure that out? In Ex Machina, there's a lot of political stuff, and I want to ask the writer or creator, you know, what did he, you know, how did he learn about the process of being a mayor, you know, to emulate the everyday activities of the mayor. And in Blue Beetle, yeah, the little details of the background. I complimented one of the artists on the hubcaps on the car that had been thrown by the Incredible Hulk. Because it's the little details that really make an incredibly solid story. You know, the Sandman, he'll open up a box and have a whole bunch of stuff in the box, but you'll realize if you read the entire series of Sandman, each item in the box, this cluttered box, is from another story. And so it's keeping that attention to detail and finding out, you know, how they got the research and how close is just, yeah, you know, I thought hubcaps would probably fly off if you threw a car across the street. You know.
Okay, and a lot of your material comes from this, being at conventions and Canada. How much have you picked up from this weekend?
You have no idea.
I don't, that's why I asked you.
I've been talking about it for about 2 or 3 years now of getting a leaf blower and chasing after guys in kilts, and what was it, Friday morning, I was lying in bed going, I could sleep for another half hour, or I could get up and go get the leaf blower. So I went to Home Depot and I picked up a cordless, rechargeable battery, lightweight, portable leaf blower. Oh, it was hard surface blower, because I don't think it's quite powerful enough for leaves, but we did find that it is powerful enough for kilts. Now, utilikilts are the bane of my leaf blower's existence, because utilikilts are very heavy and very coarse, and they do have modesty snaps, which you'd be amazed at how many giant, hairy, kilted men are terrified of leaf blowers and have their modesty snaps. Because I learned this week that the difference between skirts and kilts are whether or not you're wearing underwear. And so I did try to wait until midnight before I turned it on to high-powered. And we did find a corner for a bluebeard did show up. And so I found a quiet corner and checked for children and old people, and all the girls gathered around with their cameras ready for the glimpse. And the convention photographer came by and said, "Oh, look, this looks like something interesting is going on." And I turned to him and said, "Sir, I don't think you want to be here." So we might have to have a rated R calendar.
You sound like you've almost got this down to a science at this point.
Yeah, you know, when you do a comic a day for 4 years, you have to, you know, sink or swim, especially with the day job. And I don't really consider it a life, but, you know, seeing the boyfriend for more than 5 minutes a day. So you do have to figure out how to cut corners and figure out a process for it. So I have my four panels, and when something happens, I kind of know. I have friends who say, "Why haven't you done a cartoon about that thing we did last week, because it was really funny?" And I was like, "Yeah, it's really funny, but it really wouldn't fit into, there's no way to lead into it. There's no, yeah, it's funny, but it takes so much explaining that it would kill it." So there is definitely, when somebody says something, the girl that I'm staying with at the hotel has a phrase. She refers to guys as mice. She's like, "Oh, that's a mouse that I'd like to take home and play with." Because she likes to play with her dinner. And I got a lot of little quotes from her. So yeah, I carry around my tape recorder. And especially with the leaf blowers, that it's become a theme. And so I do have me chasing after the boys in kilts. And people coming up to me all last night and the night before of, "Okay, I've got to ask, what's with the leaf blower?" I said, "I'm hunting kilts." And they have a moment of, "But why are you..."
The light comes on. Speaking of material, if you go by the Walk of Fame and just watch it for a little while, it's like a nice little psychological experiment.
The Walk of Fame always is, because we were talking on panel about how even the comic artists from the, you know, you get the artists from the 50s and 60s who are gods of their era, and all are held up by all comic book artists, you know, as our forefathers. And at times in their day, you know, and at times they are the big name. And they bring in the people, and they have crowds and crowds and lines, and you have to wait 4 hours to get on the list to be able to meet them. And now you do see them sitting in the corner, because they're still doing it. They're still in the industry. But, you know, the next big star has come in, and so you walk down an aisle and look down and see that there is this guy who has amazing work, who has been in the industry for longer than you've been alive. And he's just kind of sitting there. Same with the Walk of Fame, that you get these guys who, and you know, any convention you go to, yeah, you get these guys who are amazing actors of their time, and you get to see what time has done. But no, I veer away from the Walk of Fame because it is absolutely packed.
And it has an odor.
Now, I've heard that there is a room, either the tech gaming room, or I think it's the room that is the video games or something, where every 45 minutes they have to clear the room out and Febreze it. and I think somebody was talking about getting, either Christy or her fiance, Ryan of In the Puddle, were talking about getting super soakers with the backpack super soaker, and just painting the Febreze logo on it and filling it. And I actually already had a guy come by in a pirate outfit in a giant sack
Yes.
Handing out very, very high quality soap. I tried to steal as much as I could. It's the Irish Spring. Good soap. And apparently he based it on my comic strip of handing out soap at a convention. And he's a great guy. Unfortunately, he was just picking random people that walked by and handing it to them. And he saved his last piece for something incredible and a woman dressed as Wonder Woman. This woman was perfection. Curves, dark skin, Roman nose. I mean, the woman was made my jaw drop. And he stopped her and in a loud voice presented her with the soap. And he had all these quotes of, you know, rhymes and limericks and stuff about, you know, saving those around you and for God's sakes, you know, I recorded it. This is what, my brain doesn't work, so I record everything. And I swear, first her lip went out. He made Wonder Woman pout. Then she measured him up. And this guy, giant, pirate, kilted, Wookiee, takes a couple of steps back because she's got the look in her eye, like she's deciding whether or not to kick him. So yeah, she declined the soap. And what was the question?
It's Sunday morning, isn't it?
Yeah, it's 9 o'clock on Sunday morning.
Actually, we're approaching 10, which means you're about to get busy.
It's still before my before I get up.
Well, Jenny, thanks for giving us some time today. I know your fans all damn near crash my site every time I put up you were on the show last, when I get interviews with you, they damn near crash my site. So
you poor baby.
Oh yeah. Oh, all the attention. It's horrible.
Yeah, no, my fans have been my friends have been teasing me. They're like, oh my God, your place is packed. And I'm like, yeah, I'm almost sold out. And they're like, oh, you poor thing. You almost ran out, and I will run out of comics, you know, that I've got. I'm down to 3 con artists, too, and apparently there's a Monday to this convention. I don't really know how that's going to work. But
success, it's all sucky and whoa.
Oh, not the Briar Patch, no, not that. Oh.
Well, I'll let you get back to working your table. And hopefully won't completely sell out, so you'll have some stuff for the next convention.
Yeah, I don't know.
Jenny, thanks for talking with us today. This has been Nash talking with Jenny Breeden from Devil's Panties, and we're going to go back to the studio.